Have you ever badmouthed someone and they've overheard you? Well, if you have, then you're in good company. Today we'll be taking a closer look at the nuances of everyday interactions that make up the monotony of life. Let's trip over on the pavement and look back to see nothing other than completely flat ground. Grab your knitting needles and a blanket because it's time for three old friends to sit around and sew a new patch of their quilted friendship. So join me, Josh, under the covers with Christian.
Welcome to Patchwork.
And our special guest host, Michael Campbell.
Welcome to Patchwork.
Good.
Really big. Way to get to it.
I was very insecure about it, so thank you.
Yes, our guest host today is Michael Cambo Campbell, as we'll probably be calling him throughout the show.
The full three.
Yeah, the triple bugger.
What do you think, Michael Cambo Campbell?
I insist on the full three.
Yeah.
Host of Reddit on Reddit podcast.
Yes.
And Cancelled Movie Report podcast, which he does with my brother Eden.
Correct, yes.
Great shows. Tell us about them.
Sure. There's two flavors you can get. You can get the more professional, the slick, the well-researched. That's your Cancelled Movie Report.
Sure.
That's looking into famous Hollywood movies that never made it into production and were scrapped one reason or another. And they're always genuinely like weird, fascinating stories about what happened there. If you want more of a, I'm going to say relaxed hangout vibe, that's your Reddit on Reddit. We go through the weekly topics in Reddit. Discuss, look through some of the comments, have a good time. We take other people's content and then people give us credit for that. And we're fine with it.
That's your Welcome to Patchwork casual sit down.
Yeah, though I will say before we began, you know, we did say, oh, here's some things I'm thinking about bringing up. That's never happened on Reddit on Reddit.
In the
more than 400 episodes now in the bank. I mean, you've been on the show, Josh. It's very loosey-goosey, but yeah.
I'm really jealous of the fact that you've got a nickname, like a Cambo that you can go by, that people put in the bunny ears.
In quotation marks.
Yeah.
What, did that done for a particular reason, or was just that was the name and you're in Australia? And
it was a guy at a job I used to work who came up with it. And it,
genius.
It is. you would think that it is Campbell to Cambo, but it was one of those nicknames that got so long that he was calling me, he would shout across the workplace, Cambodia! And then eventually, Cambo is technically short for Cambodia.
That's great.
Because that's what he used to call me.
One of my other brother friends, his surname is Campbell.
Mm.
His nickname is Soups.
Yep.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Love it.
Really good. The problem that I have with your last name is the P.
Yes.
Yes. I just
a lot of people neglect it.
Yeah, well, it's more so that I want to say Campbo.
Yes.
And I think that would make more sense than Cambo.
It makes more sense if you think it's coming from Campbell.
Yeah.
But when you know it's coming from Cambodia.
But even spelling it, once I come to the P, I'm like, oh,
get out of there.
Come on. We've been doing this long enough.
Yeah, and then Michael with the A and the E, and people get that around the wrong way. It's a real nightmare slightly misspelled.
Is it ever EA?
I think it can be, but I think it's pretty rare. But people always stop when they're writing your name at around that point and go, A-E-L.
It's like writing definitely.
Yes.
I've said this before, but you get to the first I and you're like, ooh.
Yeah.
Got to be real careful here. I'll start with a real light stroke. See how this looks.
One I did today was authoritative.
Yeah, authoritative.
There was more T's than I thought. I thought I had it. It's like, no, the A-T.
I find it with February. Because there's so many, you are like Feb, yeah, you rare read.
Too many.
Yeah.
Who's coming up with these words?
Feb.
Yeah.
Now, before we get started, last week was going to the gym. Now, my gym has a FOB entry.
Of course, Christian, FOB stands for?
Just so proud
gonna,
of yourself as well.
I was going to go for it and make something up. And I decided against it for political reasons. My gym has FOB entry. So on my keys, as you can see on the YouTube video, I have a small red FOB. This is used to get me into the gym. Now, my biggest paranoia is that I am walking in behind someone else who has used their FOB and I haven't used mine, right? So I make sure I'll let the doors close on my face just so I can use my own FOB, because I'm very conscious about the owners of the gym seeing someone walk in and go, you didn't FOB in.
Do you scan when the doors are still open?
But I will make sure that it's closed so they know this person
is not a threat.
Was granted their own authority. Now, last week, I went to the door and there was someone waiting by the fob access point and said, hey, I've left my fob at home. Mind if I walk in with you?
They said that?
Yeah.
Bold.
Exactly, right? And in that moment, when you're put on the spot, you go, yeah. Yeah, totally.
It's just a gym? It's not a building?
Yeah, it's just a gym.
Mm-hmm. I reckon that's
what do you mean? Are you thinking that it's an outdoor gym with a fob?
No, I don't. I mean, like...
It's a building, yeah.
Yeah, no, but the idea of, did they get access to anything other than the gym? Because like, if it's just, point. Yeah, they can go in the gym, who cares, have a shower.
Well, they get access to spin classes, they get access to a boxing gym. Hey.
So you're uncomfortable granting access to someone that you don't know for sure actually has a fob.
Well, that's it, right? So I was assessing the way that he looked. I was trying to make a judgment call on the spot. I'm like, is this guy's whole play?
Was he in workout gear?
He was.
He's probably heading to the gym.
You're the fob police now.
But has his whole game been, I'm waiting outside the gym every time and asking someone to let me in?
You could totally do that, I reckon.
Yeah, you probably could. But for you personally, what are you losing by letting them in?
This is the problem, right? It makes me uncomfortable.
I'm on Christian's side with that. Yeah. That question, I'm like, what do you mean?
Because I run a loose fob ship. If someone says, oh, I need to get off on the floor that you're getting off, I'm like, that sounds fine to me. And I send them on up.
So you'll let someone off at a floor that needs card access?
Well, the floor that I work on needs card access. But people often get in and go, are you going to that floor? And I say, yeah, as I'm scanning in. And I just assume they're probably fine to come.
But they say the floor name first.
Yes.
I don't know. That's the entry criteria. No, but criteria. Like
they're not Look, guessing. They didn't hear what floor Cambo's going
like
to.
It's called like Alpha Centauri. No, it's a number.
No, but what I mean is like Cambo's, they haven't determined where Cambo's going and then gone, oh yeah, me too. They've been like, you're going to level 11? And he goes, yeah, I am. Okay, great. That makes sense.
So it's not like I get in, scan, and go, floor 2A.
Yeah,
and they
exactly.
Go, oh, I'm getting off at floor 2A.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What if they
that's
know-
what the criminals do.
What if they know in advance that that's where the secret files are hidden?
Look, I've got two thoughts. One, they've got to get past the reception anyway once they get off at the floor I get off on. So I'm like, there's one level.
I'm going to hand off the responsibility to
two,
them.
Two, if they really needed to, there is stair access. So if they were so determined to get up to the level and cause no good, my letting them up, I mean, it might assist them, but it's not going
to
stop them.
So the fob is actually a penalty for those who are choosing not to take the stairs.
I guess it is, yeah.
So you don't need fob access if you take the stairs.
Look, I don't often take the stairs. I have a fob.
I'm one of those people.
But look, there is a little system at the door, but it's so infrequently monitored, you could very easily get in.
Well, because, there's always this idea that you have that surely I would tell if someone was doing something untoward.
Yes.
And I'd be able to identify it, right? Mm. And that's why you're assessing this person. You're going, oh, they're in gym gear. They're probably going to the gym. That's not.
But the important question is, what do I have to lose? Mm. Like, surely the owners of the gym, if they were worried about this, would have set up a way more intricate system where there was a security guard inside with a gun.
No, but I don't think we should live our society in a way that everyone throws up their hands and goes, oh, whatever, doesn't matter.
I know.
It's not my responsibility.
No, but I would say, I think that what you should do to stop this social awkwardness for yourself is once you let them through, maybe if you go past reception, be like, hey, that guy.
Yes. Call them out.
Just
knock.
Like really knock on him.
Yeah. Well, while he's there.
No, why? No, obviously hey, not. Hey, obviously
this
not.
Guy, this guy, I don't know about him.
Yeah, you say, come on through, you grab them by the shoulder and you walk them to reception and go, do you recognize this person? They claim membership.
Yeah, I think you have a responsibility to not let randoms through, but I don't think you have a responsibility to make sure the door closes behind you. I think you can just go through. If they don't have the door closing quick enough, that's on them.
Yeah, but aren't you aware of a tail?
You are.
Because then it's on you, right? When they're reviewing the security camera footage, they're like, oh, he walked in after that idiot who left the doors open, who didn't wait to watch the doors close behind him.
Well, it's a weird, because I do a lot of grocery delivery and stuff. And sometimes you're trying to get into a building, the person's not answering. I kind of make a deal.
So, just to clarify, not that you have orders delivered to your house.
No.
You are doing the deliveries. Yes.
So sometimes what will happen is, I'll see someone sort of approaching the door. I'll make a big deal to make sure I'm buzzing in before they. But the problem is when I ring the buzzer and there's not enough time for them to respond, and the person's opened the door, I was like, I've got a chance here.
Yeah.
Like, do I give up on the intercom and dash at the door?
But what if you've got no next step after that? You're inside, but you need another key card to access anywhere else. You're stuck.
I would leave it in the foyer there because it's in a secure area. But it's this weird moment of like, do I follow this person in or do I follow protocol?
So you don't like to grant people access with a fob, but if access is granted to you, then suddenly it's
If you're carrying a box of groceries, come on in. That's it. If they look like they're at work or the gym, they need to have special attire. There needs to be some part of clothing on them that determines.
So is gym attire?
Yes, that's a class of people. That's fine. I think if you're wearing just plain clothes, you should not get fob access.
Yeah, it still makes me feel a bit unsettled. Like I'm wondering when we get better systems of fob entry, right? Like when's retinal scanning coming in? No, but at gyms, local gyms.
They can afford it.
Could you imagine trying to be the salesman to try and upgrade a gym to a retinal scanner at like $50,000 cost to the gym? To be like, because people could be coming in and getting free classes.
Oh, right.
And they go, right. But it's $50,000. Yeah. But eventually in the long run, you're going to save money.
1,000 years later, you've paid this.
Because I was surprised that when I used to work at Safeway in like the early 2000s, we had a finger scanner just to log into your timesheets.
Yeah, so did we,
And it was weird. I thought that was like future technology. And I was like, wow, here at Safeway, what a place. I'm in the right spot.
Yeah, they've actually redone a lot of the Woolies, haven't they? It feels very futuristic now. Weird. Even with the checkout, the self-checkouts, when you put the best innovation in tech, I'd say, of the last, don't worry about the iPad, don't worry about Google.
Two best, iPad and Google.
When you put a capsicum. When you put a capsicum down at the register, at the self-checkout register, and then you see it say capsicum, and you haven't pressed any buttons, that's better than Google.
We've peaked as a civilization.
Yeah.
Now all I'm imagining is a capsicum following you through to the gym.
If it's got gym gear on.
A few months ago, I was chatting to one of my friends who works at the cinemas, and we're chatting about it. I'm like, oh, by the way, if you ever want to go, let me know. I'll get you some tickets. I was like, sweet. Mm. A few months go by, and then as a little nudge to be like, hey, those free tickets, I sent them a message and they're like, oh, hey, is June Part 2 still playing? I kind of want to check it out. And they're like, oh, yeah. And I asked a question I didn't say, can you get me tickets? I said, ask some questions about the movie. I want to see it. Being like, the offer of the free tickets did not come.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, how much can I push this? Can I go?
You were trying everything but asking, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Well, there's your problem.
No, but
he thought you wanted to chat about the movie.
I thought it would be rude. So I was like, I'm going to mention it, have a little bit of a dialogue, see what comes back, and the tickets didn't come back. And I thought, have they forgotten or should I have been more direct? What do you think, Cambo?
I think, how long ago were they offered?
I feel like it's a couple of months.
Oh,
but it was like, because they work there. They're like, oh, anytime you want to go,
we'll
get you some tickies.
There's a statute of limitations on offers, right?
I feel like there is, and it scales by like how big the favor is.
Yes.
Yeah. No, but it's not. I don't think it's that timely because it's like that's their everyday normal work life, right? Yeah. It's not like a special thing of like there's a concert or that's on every now and again. It's like I'm continually working
there. But is it possible that when you had the first conversation, June was, you know, there were a couple of openings here and there. By the time you followed up, there's nothing available and he didn't want to look like he had egg on his face.
Well, that was the only thing that I think I did see no free list.
Oh, yes.
So okay. I wonder.
I have some insider knowledge around this.
Oh, yes.
Because I used to also work at a cinema. So I understand the free ticket system. And I think there's two things that have maybe happened. One, I would say that to people all the time. Didn't remember who I said it to. So I think that's probably happening. I would say to everyone, like, yeah, anytime, man, I'll get you free tickets. And if someone had asked me what movie's playing, I would not have remembered if I had offered them free tickets.
Mm. Okay.
The other thing is, yes, the no free ticket list. That is a thing. There are certain comp tickets.
Even as a staff member.
Depends on the chain.
This is disgusting. The fact that a free ticket system exists.
Yeah.
So what's the system? Is it just that we work here, we can get free tickets?
Well, the way it works is essentially studios don't like staff complimentary tickets because it brings the average ticket price down.
So yeah, don't really, include them.
It's really,
get them off your data points.
It's the studios that are very against staff going to no free ticket films. Okay. The cinema doesn't care.
That sounds so dumb. It's like star, how a minuscule proportion of people.
How tight are your purse strings that that's happening? But at least that was my experience, is every time they go, oh, we're getting a lot of pressure because they're like, what, over the entire circuit of cinemas,
yeah,
what are these 2,000 free tickets that have come to this movie?
Yeah, how many staff could there be?
Well, but you give them out to friends and family, Josh Porter.
Oh, okay, yes. Understand. So the free ticket system, it has its flaws.
I cannot talk to the cinema that your friend works at, how their system works, but it is very possible that little asterisk next to the ticket meant that his comp might not have actually worked.
Because what I was thinking of, should then the response have been like, oh, if you want to see that, I can't get you tickets. Like, I don't know if that needs to be part, but it like wasn't even on the radar of the conversation at all. And I was a bit disappointed.
Yeah, it kind of feels like you needed to be a little bit more direct.
Yeah.
To say, hey, that thing that you offer, if his offer, if the scope was tight, if he said, Josh, when you want a free ticket to see a film, let me know, then it's within your rights to reach out and say, hey, insert name, I'd love to see Dune 2. Can you still get me a free ticket?
Yeah, I just felt weird being so upfront about it. I sort of wanted to dance around it a bit and let the offer flow onto me. But maybe I should have targeted and tacked it a bit more.
Well, to what you were saying just before, do you have a lot of these open offers out there? Like when you worked at the cinema, you were just saying, hey, I can get you a ticket, blah, blah, blah. But in your life now, are you a favor offerer? Like just William Nilliam?
Here's the problem with me. My family is very useful. Okay. They all work jobs that have great favors.
Right?
And I cannot reciprocate with my job.
Great.
I cannot offer them anything else. So I feel like I'm always calling in favors
and
never being able to really give them back out.
Can I suggest, and I've thought about this amongst my friends, if you're going to get like a deck of cards and having the best ones, I want like a carpenter kind of person.
Yeah, that's my dad.
Yep, fantastic.
Wow.
I want some legal advice.
Oh, no, I don't. I think that's missing.
That's
well,
okay.
I've recently made a friend who is studying to be a lawyer, so perhaps.
I want some medical advice.
Yep, got that.
Great. Yeah. I guess, yeah, an electrician and a plumber.
My brother is an electrician.
Oh, this is amazing.
Do you have a sister for Josh?
My sister my sister is a nurse. Recently Huge. Married Josh. Keep Huge. Your eyes off her.
You've got all the connects. That's fantastic.
Yeah, wow.
When we brought our house, my partner and I, we got a new kitchen in the house. And my dad.
Thank God.
Gifted.
My dad.
We've already got one. Where are we supposed to put the second one?
You guys didn't have to do this. No, we redid our whole kitchen. Yep. My dad built it. My brother, who's an electrician, works for like a company that got his staff discount to get our appliances. My partner's dad is a contractor. So he did a bunch of the flooring and stuff like that. And so this kitchen went in about 3 weeks, which is unheard of.
Okay.
And it cost us like $10,000, which is also unheard of.
Right.
And so many people have gone, how did you do it? And it's that moment where
I did nothing.
It's that moment where you're like, I'm so sorry, but you can't.
You can't get this.
I've had this benefit my whole life with no ability to cash it in ever because I've never owned a house. And this is the one chance I had and I can't give them anything back.
Yeah. You feel kind of useless, don't you? Like all three of us work with computers mainly.
Yeah.
And then when you experience people with a trade, like that can do something in the real world.
Yeah.
It's just like, what do I have to offer? I can, Hey, Josh, you got a project you need to manage?
Yes, I'm renovating my kitchen.
I can't do it. It's not a computer.
Yeah, it is disappointing. Like, there's so many tangible things out there that I feel have just passed us by. Like, and now it's all YouTube tutorials. That's all we use.
Yeah.
The question is, asking for a favor, if you know the person well, are you more willing to ask for a bigger favor?
I think you understand the level of your relationship.
This happened recently. A very close friend of mine was finishing up a job at a big like electronics retail store where he got a staff discount. And he sent me a message. He said, hey, it's my last week. If you want anything with my staff discount, just let me know. I know you like vinyl records or whatever. If you want one of those, let me know. And I said, can you get my mum a TV?
Whoa. I can get you a vinyl record.
Yeah. But to his credit, he said, yeah, right, yeah.
Huge.
Because he was finishing up. But that's a huge favor to ask. But yeah. I only felt comfortable because I'd been friends with him for so long.
And I think you would have been okay with a flat no coming back.
Oh,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
Do you think you pressured him anyway?
I think I did the appropriate amount of, you really do not have to do this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But if you want to go out with a bang, as it turns out, he brought, I think, between my mom and his family, 3 TVs. Like he went like a going out of business sale in this whole thing. But like, would you feel comfortable asking a close friend for like a really big, that wasn't even for me. That was for my mom.
I'm not comfortable asking for favors. I think I kind of, a bit like Josh, I'll kind of dance around but never really directly ask for it.
I think it's a self-sufficient thing.
Yeah.
Like I always feel like, well, I'll deal with my stuff myself.
Mm.
Unless it's getting movie tickets.
And also, but also I feel like I've had that experience with people because I feel like there's now in society, there's currency in an empty gesture. There's the, well, Josh, if you ever need anything, let me know.
If you get to offer a favor, don't have to do it. That's huge.
Oh, that's the best.
But I feel like it's happening a lot. There's a lot of if you need anything. If you ever hear if you need anything, let me know. It's nothing. That's empty.
Or you just offer something otherwise the offer has to be so outlandish that you know it's probably never going to happen.
Yeah.
Look, if you're ever redoing your roof, I'll come over. I'll help you out. Piece of cake.
But even I've witnessed it a lot with friends who aren't seeing each other that often. They'll be like, hey, we really need to get a beer. We really need to grab a coffee together. You're just saying it, right?
Yeah.
There's as much value in saying it than in actually doing the favor.
But if that person was a barista, then it's a bit different.
Well, it's hard while they're working. You're going to go have a coffee with them.
Going to get this one for free for me, please? Yes. That'd be great.
To what you were saying before, Cambo, I think the amount of time between offering the favor and realizing that favor is very important. So last week, I had a call from someone and they said, hi, Christian, it's Amy. And I said, Amy, I'm sorry, I can't place. I met you at, I'm going to use different names. I met you at Sally and Bob's daughter's christening 18 months ago. And you mentioned that you build websites.
Right.
And we had a conversation about you building my website. And not sure about the it's Amy that I would remember you from a single interaction 18 months before. But also calling in, that was a very loose discussion. Mm. But 18 months later, calling in the favor of you said you'd build my website.
Do you think you actually offered that?
I said, when it comes time for you to build a website, let me know.
When?
But that's...
You opened the offer.
I did, but this is 18 months of a someone related to someone that I know.
I think you should have said, look, in the next 3 months, if you build your website...
surely there's an expiration date to favors, right?
No, if they're switched on enough to remember, that's pretty good.
That I will say credit to Amy there for going, that idiot thinks I won't remember. Because building a website for someone that doesn't do it, that's super scary to me. If someone had offered to help me, I would remember that.
Yes.
Was it a very empty gesture or would you have happily
done it? It was said with so much emptiness.
Yeah, right?
If you ever need a hand with anything.
Was she assuming free website?
Yes.
See, that sentence that you said, hey, when it comes time to build a website, let me know.
Yeah.
That to me sounds like you're trying to get work.
Exactly.
I wouldn't
right?
have assumed, well, that's I, very generous of him to well, offer a free website.
I would have thought, to me, that language speaks to, I can point you in the right direction of the right tool so you don't get ripped off.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I read that as. I'll be the familiar relation so you don't get ripped off.
But it just felt weird to receive that call from someone you don't know because I presume I've got a lot of these open favors out there.
Stop offering.
Yeah, you're scared they're all going to start calling.
But I don't know. That's it, right? I'm scared that someone's going to cash in these favors that are just open that I didn't put expiration dates on.
Answering the phone, just be at home. Oh my God, they're calling me. They're calling me again. Yeah, I don't, like we said, I don't have that much to offer, but I do.
You've got plenty to offer. What are you talking about?
Oh, just
you can help with a move.
It's just tech help, isn't it? But that's all it is.
But that's important.
Mum's asked me to help her buy an iPad. I've ignored that.
So you can help, but you've just ignored
it. Well, again, it's the thing of I just do research. I'm not inherently knowledgeable in this stuff. I type into Mr. Google.
But that's a learned
iPad
skill.
New, best.
Yeah, but not everyone's good at that.
Yeah, I guess. The younger generation doesn't know how to Google effectively. Did you know that?
What do you mean?
Oh, they're too used to natural language models now.
You're sounding like your mum now.
No, honestly, they're used to natural language now that we still have this keyword thing in our brain.
What age Kevin Costner?
Exactly. Yeah. Whereas I'll be like, what age is Kevin Costner? Yeah. Question mark.
Kevin Costner dead?
Now, in honor of our special guest host, Cambo, and your continued work on Cancelled Movie Report, we thought we would bring back an old game we haven't played for a while. It's called Never Seen It. The setup for this one is, it's kind of like, you know, when you're at the Oscars and they announce the awards and then they show a little clip of the film. So like, the best actor is this person, Kevin Costner.
In I'm Dead.
And then they play a little clip from the film.
Yes.
And so the setup is we've all come with a genre of a film and the title of the film. And then we're springing it on the other person. They'll have to play out a scene and give us that beautiful moment.
We've made up a film and the other person has to improvise the Oscar winning line.
That's it. Much cleaner.
Jesus Christ. Hey, if you're ever doing a podcast, guys.
All right, he's got two. Yeah. See what happens?
I'll kick us off, Christian. I'll be feeding to you. It's a fantasy movie. And the title of the fantasy film is The Wizards of Elden Grove.
Oh, no.
We simply cannot take them. The Thorlocks will be here in 2 days.
2 days? But we haven't prepared an army.
I told you, the winged beasts will come from the north. They pledged themselves to us.
You know what I say. Us wizards, we may be short, but we've got big hearts.
I don't want to call you a fantasy racist, but I think have you mistaken a wizard for a dwarf?
No, it's improv. I don't know what comes out. Hey, wizards can be short.
I guess they can be.
Not all of them, though. Just,
yeah, they're not normally short. No. But you're right, they can be.
You're right, and class. I did. In my head, I was like, I'm thinking of an elf.
But that's fine, because you're a class as a wizard, but your race is an elf.
Is that a thing?
You could do that. You could get away with
that. This guy's played D&D.
There you go. All right. Cambo, you ready?
Yes, I am.
It's an action film.
Great.
In the style of the Fast and Furious franchise.
Great.
And it's called Exhaust. the clip is taken from the final car chase sequence.
T-Bone, this is Macho. I'm in the chopper. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear. What's the situation?
Boss, I gotta tell you something. Something's not right. The bridge, it's not there. You're driving towards a cliff.
No cliff is gonna stop me from getting where I need to go, or they don't call me Johnny Exhaust.
Very good.
Really good, Cambo.
Johnny Exhaust, the titular character.
Yes, yes. Oh, I've made myself the titular character. Because then you can't recast me, can you? Josh, I've got one for you. This is a very, very specific genre. This is an educational political musical. The type that might educate kids at school. It's called Congre. Yes! And here's a clip.
How a bill becomes law isn't easy to see. I wish someone here would explain it to me.
Well, listen here, kids. I got a lot of bills to teach you, and there's one thing that you gotta know. We have many houses of parliament.
And the Oscar goes to...
So there's two bits of context needed for this story. One is the building that I work in the floor that I work in is an open plan office. And on the level I work in, there's two radio stations. The other thing you need to know is where my desks are. It's pretty open plan. It's a bit of a fishbowl. So people walking through, they can see and hear us a lot, but we don't always see them. The conversation came up. It was about the movie 50 First Dates. Someone said, I wonder whether that movie holds up or not. Because it feels like maybe what he's doing is a crime. But then naturally I said, well, I think it does hold up because there's a very tasteful representation of a Hawaiian man played by Rob Schneider. So, of course, I think, you know, Rob's very sensitive. And the whole little pod section, about six people, it became a Rob Schneider pile-on.
Great.
People were saying, oh, yeah, didn't he play a Chinese man in a movie? And isn't he a weird anti-vax right-wing nut job? And didn't he get booed off Comedy State? We're having a fun pile-on of Rob Schneider. But half an hour later, the receptionist comes over to us. And then she goes, oh, my God. Did you guys see Rob Schneider?
Oh, my God.
And we said, what do you mean? She goes, he was here.
No.
Wait. And we said,
holy shit.
When exactly was Rob Schneider here? And she went, oh, like within like the last hour. He went between the two radio stations. We said, but we're between the two radio stations. When exactly was Rob Schneider here? So now here's the thing. We don't know if Rob Schneider was around when we were piling on Rob Schneider for that 5 to 10 minutes. But the thought never occurred to us that he could
be. I know, right? What an absolutely bonkers thing to think. Like, well, we better not talk about it. He might turn up at any point. Yeah. Like, it's Rob Schneider.
Is it commonplace that someone of his pedigree might be walking through the halls?
Look, occasionally you get someone from Australian media walking through. International is a little bit different. Then again, I would say Rob Schneider's on the lower level of international.
Yeah. Like, why is he on Australian radio?
He's doing a stand-up tour. Right. Yeah, he's doing a stand-up tour. But just never in our minds did it cross that Rob Schneider could be in the vicinity as we're talking about him.
Yeah, because I guess if ever you talk about a celebrity or someone.
Yeah, you feel safe.
Yeah. You go, well, they don't want to be here. There's no chance. There's absolutely no way.
I wonder whether Rob is walking by and not engaging with his environment. You know, he's not actively listening. Mm. Or he's the type of person that's very much actively listening and hearing his name mentioned over and over again.
He Googles himself vibes.
Yeah.
Well, I think what happens is his ears probably pick up when he hears, oh, what a boy. Gigolo. Ooh. That's me.
Did you say Wog Boy?
Gigolo.
Oh, Juice Bigelow.
Yeah, male gigolo.
Sorry. I thought you said Wog Boy. I was like, that's a different actor, Josh. Yeah.
But it's that thing of you just don't know whether the person you were talking about was listening in.
Mm.
And then, especially, like, I didn't see Rob Schneider. And fair enough, good.
Yeah, yeah.
But in that situation, I'm sure it's happened to you guys all the time where you've accidentally talked about someone, realized that they could have been there, and then the next time you see them, you like actively do not talk to them in case.
Well, you pretend it never happened, right?
Oh, absolutely.
You never own up to it. You just cross your fingers and you hope, I hope that didn't happen.
You hope it's one of those things that both of you forget forever.
Yeah, or they quietly simmer on it.
Yeah.
And you never hear
about
it.
But you also try and gauge how they're vibing you.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if they seem a bit off, you're like, oh, they probably heard.
Well, because
Rob. He declined my invite for a dinner date. He definitely heard.
Because I had a situation when I was traveling in Egypt. We were in this car with this woman. She's probably like, I don't know, mid-20s or something, youngish American woman. And she'd traveled a lot and was just talking. She was talked a lot and was talking about these stories and all this stuff and these places she'd been. And apparently she made all her money on like some marijuana farm or something as it was becoming legal in states. So she seemed like, oh, I made heaps of money and now I travel all the time. And so the amount she talked, I found funny, and her stories were all like, you've got to go here. It's incredible. It's beautiful. The people, da, da, da. And then later that day, we're at one of the sites and we're all sort of on our way going back to the bus. And I sort of look around and I see her sort of over there, maybe 20 meters away. And as we're going up the stairs, I sort of joked to my partner at the time being like, oh, da, 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 and doing a little impression of her voice.
Mm.
And then as we get to the top, I turn around and she's right behind me now. Josh. And I was like, you were so far away before. How did you get back? Well,
she's traveled a lot in a very short space of time.
But I felt so bad after that. And isn't it dumb where like I felt completely comfortable to rag on this person when I knew they couldn't hear me. Mm. But as soon as I thought they could hear me, I was like,
yeah, so I'm a bad person. You might not have this when you're talking about Rob Schneider, but there is nothing like that feeling of dread when you realize that that person's in your vicinity, right? And you go, oh my God.
Yeah, and then you're also questioning like, how much did they hear? And you're trying to run through, well, if they caught that bit, that's not too bad. that could be anyone.
But if they caught that bit, oh my God, it's over.
Yeah. Well, I find myself now, I'm so hyper paranoid that the moment I'm talking about someone, I'm immediately grabbing for my phone just to have a little peek, just make sure that I haven't accidentally called them somehow or I'm accidentally recording a voice message to them because that could happen. There's some world in which you could have accidentally dialed their name or said, you know, you're saying blah, 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 Cyril, blah, blah, blah. And then Siri's like, what? They hear the name, calls. Or there's some world where you could accidentally say this.
Well, there's the other thing that happens sometimes when you're in a group and there's maybe like a couple of additional people and someone's there's a shared person and someone starts talking smack about that person. And then you're quietly going, oh, that person actually likes them.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you shouldn't be saying this. Mm. And you're like, oh, you try to laugh it off and like move it on. I hate when that happens.
Do you come in? Do you then go, they're not that bad?
Yeah, totally. You try and smooth it over and cover it over a bit.
Yeah, you try and give them the eyes, the non-communicative eyes, where you just kind of, you're nodding, but your eyes are just bulging a little bit, trying to like signal.
Have you ever been caught giving the non-communicative eyes?
I don't know if maybe I haven't, no one's called me out, but not to my face. No one's ever called me out to my face about the non-communicative eyes.
Have you done the one where someone starts a conversation about a thing and you know that person's like at the event or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'll just lean in and be like, let's just be careful.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I want to hear this, but we just got to be careful.
I do the kind of silent like shake of my head like the no, no, no.
Not now? Yeah. Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, that's very good. But no, we can't do that. Tell me later. Or the key is you just don't use the name.
Yeah, you talk, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like the way that Rob Schneider's is pricked up, presumably. If you don't use the name or talk about the films they're in, you'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah. I remember a time during COVID where I was walking out to the cafe and I bumped into someone on the street and started talking to them as if they were someone else I just remember that they looked quite similar, but really not that similar.
Looked like a dwarf.
But a wizard. And had a full conversation with them. And then started to cotton on that they weren't really registering what I was saying. It was just nothing was landing. Mm. And then mid conversation had that big feeling of dread.
Yeah.
And had to say to them, you're, and then try to recover and be like, yeah, yeah. And then I was just like, and how's your boyfriend? And that was it. That was my recovery.
Did you identify that you thought they were someone else, or you just
midway kind of through?
No, no. But I mean, like, did you tell that to them?
No,
no. You just tried to.
No. So, and that was the last time I've ever seen them. So I have
well, you don't know them.
Well, no, no, no. But no, I do. The thing is that I know both these people, but I just accidentally confused them. And the thought of seeing this person now in person, and I need to ask. I need to know.
Yeah.
Whether they cottoned on that I'd got them wrong.
Is the policy there, Cambo, are you coming at it headstrong or are you just pretending it never happened?
I always pretend it never happened. Mm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I will not confront a conflict if I don't need to. So I don't want to say I'd gaslight them into being like, oh, no, no, I know who you are and I knew who you were the
whole time.
It wasn't
even me.
Yeah, yeah. But I think the only time I would fess up is if they were like, so do you think I'm this other person? And I would have said, oh my God, sorry. Yeah, I had you confused.
Which your reaction then actually comes off quite okay.
Yeah.
I'm catastrophizing in my head in that moment. You have to go like, oh my God, I'm a stooky. But you're going, oh no, totally.
Yeah.
Like I don't know how it happens.
Yeah.
To this day, I forget. I have to say someone's name who I've known for years and it just doesn't come out.
Yeah.
And
that like, is, yeah. That,
and
that,
then I say to them, I go, I know your name. Like, I'm not here. I know it.
That makes my stomach drop.
Yeah.
Halfway through a conversation going, oh, nope. Forgot. Don't know your name.
It's gone.
It's gone.
It's gone.
So you get a lot of thanks, bud.
What locks it in for me? There needs to be a moment where I have the confidence to say their name.
Mm.
And then I'm like, then once I've said it once and they heard me clearly.
Yeah.
The mumble, you can't. Oh, Christian.
See, and
but you went in with the C there.
Yeah.
That's okay. You should never say someone's name.
My partner and I have a system. If we're in an event, and it's like a cousin's partner. So you're kind of like, oh God, that's gone.
Mm.
I knew it a year ago, don't remember. So I'll say to Stacey, like, okay, there's my cousin. Don't know their partner's name. She's like, okay.
Get in there.
So when we get in there, she'll be like, hi, I'm Stacey. So then they have to say their name. Perfect. And then I'm like, great, got the name, thank you.
But then do you lean really hard into that you always knew the name?
They'll be like, oh, hi, I'm Ben. I'll be like, yeah, good to see you again, Ben. Yeah, yeah.
Or you, or then you're like, sorry. Yeah, Stacey, this is Ben.
Yeah,
this
is
definitely Ben.
Benno, what's going on, mate?
No, it's not Benno.
I told you that last time.
I get really paranoid when I'm taking screenshots now, because there are times where someone sent you something and you're like, what a piece of shit. I'm going to screenshot this and send it to someone else. Mm. And then you take the screenshot and then, because it doesn't accurately say who you're sending to on some apps. So I get very self-conscious that I'm going to send it, a screenshot of their own conversation to them.
Because then you're thinking, hang on, the name up the top, is that the screenshot or is that who I'm sending it to?
Yeah, yeah.
Which one was it?
Yeah, it's horrible. Yeah.
The same messenger app screenshot in the app. Yeah. It's no good. That I would, if that happened and I sent it to the person that I screenshot, I'd be like, that's weird. Did you just get a weird screenshot of our conversation?
Huge.
Do bugs like that exist anymore, though?
I don't know. Why did it happen then?
Yeah, depending on who it is.
It must happen. It just happened.
You could maybe get away with it.
Yeah.
Oh, this happened. Oh, this happened to me.
Because I would say to them, did you just send me a screenshot?
Good.
And they go, no, you sent me a screen. Really?
Hold on, let me delete it.
No, because you sent me a
screen. Yeah, it's very confusing. I'll just delay it.
Did you just call me a big piece of shit?
A shoe fitting is probably not the best way to judge someone's character.
I start slicing every loaf of bread thinking, wow, this is going really well. And then I end every time with wonky bread.
They say their 10-hour brown noise YouTube upload is as smooth, a super deep smooth brown noise YouTube uploads from Jason Lewis at MindAment. They say it can be used for relaxing, studying and sleeping like the videos uploaded from Jason Lewis at MindAment. If it's so similar to the YouTube videos by content creator Jason Lewis, then why do I want to drive two screwdrivers into my fucking ears every time I listen to it?
Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Welcome to Patchwork. That's it. Thanks to Michael Cambo Campbell. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. On the contrary, boys.
Yes. Now, of course, if anyone wants to hear some of your other work, just remind us where they can catch you.
Yes. Weekly on Reddit. There's 400 strong in the back catalogue. You can go enjoy those. Enjoy in quotation marks. And then Cancel Movie Report. I'm very proud of that podcast. We put a lot of work into that. I genuinely think if you're into movies, you'll get something out of it.
I think one of the things we forgot to mention as well is like you guys do recreations of scenes from these films using voice actors and stuff.
That's right. Really cool. We find the scripts for these cancelled movies, cast them, produce entire scenes. It's a whole operation.
It's awesome.
But yeah, I think people will really like it. So I'd love you to check it out.
Yeah. And you do most of, all of the editing, right?
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, I am the team.
Also you can catch us on our socials. Welcome to Patchwork across the board. Mm-hmm. You can watch this on YouTube if you want to see Cambo's face.
Beautiful lips.
Beautiful lips.
I said it before we started recording, but Cambo's got beautiful lips. And Josh, we discovered, have
beautiful eyes.
Has beautiful eyes.
Beautiful lashes. Big old lashes on this boy. Now, as we do every week, it's time to sew a new patch into our quilt of friendship. Christian, what patch did you sew this week?
This week, I sewed into my patch Josh delivering a box of buff capsicums to warm-hearted wizard-turned-criminal Mr. Exhaust.
Oh, we have similar patches, Christian, let me tell you.
And Cambo, what did you sew into your patch this week?
Well, I sewed into my patch a short wizard Christian staring in awe at a capsicum on a self-checkout scale. And Josh, what did you sew in?
Thank you, Cambo. My patch this week is Christian, dressed as Deuce Bigelow, male gigolo, trying to gain fob access to Cambo's work. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Welcome to Patchwork for this week. I've been Josh.
I've been Christian.
And I've been Cambo.
Goodbye.
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 This podcast was self-produced by Welcome to Patchwork and edited by Josh Porter. The theme song and additional original music was composed by Christian Pissasali.
Did you have anything else you wanted to discuss, Cambo?
No, nothing of any merit.
It's a good attitude to have on this show.